that it was wrong to state it too quickly. So if you turn to Galatians 3, I'll read the passage and it explains to you where we're going to focus in on today and why we're going to focus in on it. Galatians chapter 3, and I'll have to start in verse 25, although verse 26 through 28 is the verses we're going to look at. Verse 25 says, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." And then to finish the chapter, "And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, what I want to do today is we're going to focus in on that statement in verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ." When we hit that last week, even my notes from in my that I always teach from notes, that I have the connection of how the passages run, why the word "for" is in verse 26 and 27. Anyhow, we were going through and looking at the passage, and I taught the passage properly as it flows. But when we got to verse 27, and it talks about as many of you as been baptized into Jesus Christ, knowing the group that I'm teaching here at Grace Bible Church, I just made the statement how fortunate we are to have an understanding of what baptism into Christ is. And we said a little bit about it, and I even threw out a reference that we didn't look up, I just threw it out. And while we might be fortunate to know that, that is too important to pass up taking the responsibility of teaching that. Maybe not for the sake of everyone here, but maybe for the sake of some here, because you always have different degrees of understanding and levels of how long you've been in Scripture and looking at some of the details here. But for the sake of clarity, for the sake of simplicity, for the sake of those who haven't been taught correctly, and as we said, perhaps some new people to right division and Pauline dispensational truth, and then thinking to myself that just to say that somebody someday is going to pick up perhaps the CDs of our study of the book of Galatians and think, well, what did they know about being baptized into Christ that I didn't know, that they just kind of glanced right over? Or someone maybe on a DVD, or people who, we have a number of people streaming video, and I know about six people who stream on video, and I don't know who the other people are. So it is wrong for something that important to be said that short. So some of the things we're going to say today to those who have an understanding of that just might be a rehearsal of things you already know, but we want to go over those details. And also, when I talk about the simplicity and the importance of what it means to be baptized into Christ, there's also those who don't understand baptism into Christ because when they see the word baptism, Pastor Jordan always, you know, goes up high when he says, all they can think of is water. And that is some people's understanding, that word baptism is water baptism. And what I was saying, those of us who understand what it means to be baptized into Christ, those of us who know that there's no water there at all. Amen. But that's so odd to some people's thinking. When you think about people who have been just, they're just Christian by tradition, or maybe they're even church attenders, what church teaches baptism into Christ? All churches emphasize water baptism to such a degree that people only know water baptism. They don't even know there's something else. And so they have no idea of what it means to be baptized into Christ. Add to that, not only not knowing their baptism into Christ is not water baptism, it's something a lot better than that, but there's also, through that tradition and churches just pounding water baptism all the time, there is the fear in an average person not to be water baptized, thinking that, boy, if I don't get water baptized, there's no way I'm going to heaven. And if they've read a little bit in the Bible and they've read about John's water baptism, John's water baptism was for repentance for the remission of sins. And, well, let's start. Look at Luke chapter 7. If they just have a little, most people know never read past the Gospels, so they would only read about John's baptism. And here's what Jesus, talking about John the Baptist and his baptism, said. And if this is all you knew, this would be pretty scary not to get water baptized, because he's rebuking the Pharisees. We'll read other verses about this later. But it says in verse 29 of Luke chapter 7, "And all the people that heard him," that is, heard John, "the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John." They declared God is right. They needed to repent when they got water baptized by John. "So all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." It was a serious thing not to be water baptized under John's ministry. You're rejecting the counsel of God. You're a non-believer. For those who weren't getting baptized under John's ministry, they're cut off from God. So when people, you start talking about baptism into Christ is not water, and especially if they hear you say you don't need to be water baptized today, there is a fear that people would be afraid not to get water baptized lest they won't go to heaven. But you know, everything gets turned around in the age of grace. Because the truth of the matter today is, if you got water baptized for the remission of your sins, you're not going to heaven. Because it tells you in Romans 4, "To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but a debt." The only way God will save you today is if you don't do a work to get saved. "But believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And so you could see we need to talk about this a little bit, for not just our sake, just to make sure we're scriptural. In fact, I'll bring up something a little bit later that maybe should put a little fear in you as well, if you think you understand everything and realize how close you could to being wrong, if I remember to tell you what that is when we get there. But anyhow, in this passage, do you still have Galatians? That's where we're starting from, Galatians chapter 3. Now, we'll probably take a long time before we get back here again, so put a piece of paper there. But we're actually looking at Galatians 3. The reason I started in verse 25 is we made this statement last week, and it's important for you to see it. In Galatians 3:25, when God was dealing with Israel under the law, it says, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." So there was a time when people were under the law, and the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But verse 25 says, "But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." So there was a time people were under the schoolmaster, but we've gone from being under the schoolmaster to being in Christ. That's why verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So we go from being under a schoolmaster to being in Christ. And in that transition comes verse 26, the basis by which you're in Christ. See, if the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, verse 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." So when we have, and faith in Jesus Christ is just a short way here, talking about Paul's gospel, faith in Jesus Christ today is not just that he's the Messiah. It's that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. We're putting our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the payment of sin. And when we do that, we become the children of God. Verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We become the children of God. That's the verse 26 is the basis of how we got in Christ. We believed. But the means of getting in Christ, how did you get into Christ, is verse 27, baptized into Christ. And so it's important to understand what it means to be baptized into Christ. Now, the word baptism, and you know, I I made this definition. I don't know, you know, you got theological books and definition books that, you know, Bible dictionaries, and even Webster's dictionary. Everybody tries to define baptism. Baptism is actually a Greek word transliterated into English. Baptizo becomes baptism. And so a biblical understanding, this will fit everything. The definition of baptism, it means to be placed into or on for the purpose of identification. It is used outside of Bibles. I've heard it several times now in sporting events. The word baptism is used as a synonym for initiation into a group, into a team, into an organization. That when someone is put into a team for the first time, they're initiated, they call it his baptism. And they're using it properly because it's placed into for the purpose of identification. If you're, you know, brought onto the Detroit Tigers and you're placed into that team and now you're identified, you're a Tiger. And sports guys use it that way. I've heard it several times that way. So that is a proper definition of the term baptism. So if you understand it means to be placed into, sometimes it's on, not always into, but on, placed into or on for the purpose of identification. Keep that in mind as we talk about this. And note that there is a baptism in your Bible. Now, I have like five things that I want you to, I'm just going to go through real simple that I think would help you understand this subject from a biblical point of view. There is a baptism associated with a man named John. In fact, he's called John the Baptist. But he's called John the Baptist because there is a baptism that is associated with him. And I want you to get used to that. Just a few passages. Look in Luke chapter 20. In fact, I'm going to try to look a lot in Luke, John, and Acts. Luke chapter 20. And I'm doing this basically because not only do I want to help someone who's never thought of the word baptism outside of the idea of water, they'll certainly be able to see that there's more than a water baptism in the Bible. I also want to erase the fear of not being water baptized and actually instill the truth of what has now, that we have the privilege of being baptized into Christ and how that happened. The reason of looking at that is to erase fear. You erase fear by giving knowledge, by informing people. In Luke chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel," and he's preaching, that's Lord Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom, "the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority dost thou these things, and who is it that gave thee this authority?" So these are the scribes and Pharisees who we just read rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized by John. So the Lord's going to not answer their question. He's actually going to put a question to them. Watch what he does. He says in verse 3, "And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?" Now that was an important question. I'll read the rest. I wanted you to see that verse 4. We'll go back to it in a minute. But verse 5 says, "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then believed ye him not? If we say of men, all people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I thee by what authority I do these things." I love it. Lord knew how to deal with people. That question in verse 4, not so much the question. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? I said there's a baptism associated with this man, John. That's why the Lord would call it the baptism of John. There is a baptism that's associated with this man. You'll see as we go on that certainly that's water baptism, but I just want you to get used to that. There's a baptism associated with this man, John. Now, hold your place in Luke, but come over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to bounce back and forth, as I said. Acts, chapter 1. Now, this is after the Lord rose and ascended back into heaven, and the 12 apostles have to choose someone to replace Judas. But they can't just choose anyone to replace Judas because the Lord taught them for 3.5 years in his ministry. So there was certain criteria of what, of who could be apostle with the 12 apostles, the other 11, who will be the 12. And one of the criteria is verse 22. They said, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up, the Lord Jesus Christ, from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So the qualifications to be one of the 12 apostles is you had to be around since from the beginning of the baptism of John. So there's this baptism that's certainly associated with John. John comes on the scene and he began to do something that wasn't being done before him. Not that they didn't understand what baptism was to be placed into. There was washing of pots and pans and all of that. But John began to call the people to baptism. And it's called the baptism of John. Now, come over to chapter 13. This is real important. Acts chapter 13. And again, Paul here is now going through the history of Israel. And he starts with, or he brings out the fact of what began with John. It says in verse 24, it says, when John had first preached before his coming, before Jesus Christ showed up, the first coming of Christ, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am, and so forth. I just wanted you to see, prior to the Lord showing up and doing his public ministry, John preached before Christ's coming. He preached the baptism of repentance, and he preached it to all the people of Israel. I want you to get used to the fact that when we talk about baptism, baptism is not only an act, but it's also a message. John had a message that he went out and preached. It's called the baptism of repentance. He's calling the nation of Israel to repentance. So not only does John have a message, the message is to a certain people, and that's the nation of Israel. So there's this baptism, there is a baptism associated with this man, John. Now that baptism, we said, is water, but I want you to see it from the scripture. So go back to Luke, since we're going bouncing back and forth. If you're taking notes, obviously write down Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and he'll say just a little bit more than what you're going to read here in Luke chapter 3. But you'll see it from here in Luke chapter 3 concerning John and his baptism and a little bit more than John and his baptism. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, John answered, saying unto them all, the people that are gathering, coming to him, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, actually, you got all three in this one. So you have John, and our purpose in looking here is John, the baptism associated with him is water baptism. He was sent to water baptize. But he immediately talks about Jesus Christ, the one who he's not worthy to unlatch his shoes, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming after him. The Lord Jesus Christ has got a baptism associated with him. In fact, two other baptisms, a baptism with the Holy Ghost and a baptism with fire. So, and by the way, keeping with our definition, John either placed water on people, some people like say poured or sprinkled, it doesn't matter, baptism, or he placed people in water. Some people say that has to be that way, whatever. But John's baptism was with water. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to pour out the Holy Spirit on the believing remnant. And those who reject the baptism of John Jesus Christ is going to put them in the lake of fire. They're going to be baptized with fire. So he's going to put fire on them, but they're going to be in fire too. So you see how that word baptism works, our definition of baptism. So, but here, John's baptism with water. Come, now, jump over to John. It's the book after Luke, of course. John chapter 1. And in verse 24, they're questioning John of who is he? They thought he was Elijah. No, he's not Elijah. Are you that prophet? That Moses talked about a prophet coming, but the Lord is that prophet Moses talked about. So John said, no, I'm not that prophet. So they asked John a particular question. Verse 24 of John chapter 1. It says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him. So the Pharisees sent people to John the Baptist to ask him a question. So verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. See, very clear, a baptism associated with John is water baptism. I baptize with water, but there stand one among you whom I know not. It is he that cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from Luke what he said after this, the Lord Jesus Christ has got a baptism. But John's baptism is certainly with water. Look at verse 33. It says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. Now that would be God the Father, by the way. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be baptized by John with water, and he's going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. So you have the Lord Jesus Christ baptism there as well. So, putting what we just put together, water baptism is John's ministry, and it's also his message to the nation of Israel. Clearly according to, now watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is extremely important. 1 ministry is to water baptize. His message is a message of baptism. He preached baptism. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and he preached it to the nation of Israel. Later in Acts, Saul of Tarsus is saved, and he's sent out as Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles from the Lord Jesus Christ after a year after he ascended into heaven. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says this, starting in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 1:12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Now at this point so far, Paul is thankful he didn't baptize more than the few that he did. But it's not only lest they should say that he baptized in his name, the reason he did so few, he says in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. So, what my point was, is John's water baptism, John's his ministry and message to Israel clearly involved water baptism. But clearly, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 12 through 18, Paul's ministry and message did not include water baptism. He was not sent to water baptize. Not only did his ministry not include water baptism, his message doesn't include water baptism. His message is about the cross of Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. So You immediately see, boy, there's a difference between John and Paul, their ministries, who they're ministering to, and what their message is about. And that's, I want you to be able to associate baptism with not only an act, but a message. And water baptism is not part of Paul's ministry or his message. And that's to us Gentiles. Now, saying that, if you have Galatians chapter 3, this is something to think about. According to, if you look at Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." For, meaning what happens when you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you become a child of God for this reason. "For many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So to be baptized into Christ makes you a child of God, right? Do you know that John, every person he baptized, none of them became a child of God by John's baptism? John never made anybody a child of God by water baptizing them. You know how I know that? Look at John chapter 1. It just takes a little bit of thinking to understand. When you read in the book of John, John is going to say in the introduction to this book, now that's John the Apostle, but he's going to write about John the Baptist, and he's actually writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. But when he's talking about the Lord coming, he says in verse 11 of John chapter 1, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." That short little verse, John 1:11, is the whole life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's not that they didn't receive him at his birth, they didn't receive him all his life. They rejected him and crucified him. So the Lord came to his own, he came to the nation of Israel, and they received him not. Now, is that true of everybody in Israel? No, we know Peter and John, the 12 apostles, received him. There was women and children. There were a group of people who followed the Lord. For the most part, the nation received him not. So verse 12 says, "But as many as received him." So during his life and ministry, some did receive him. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." So when did Jesus Christ give those who believed on him in his lifetime the power to become sons of God? It's when he poured out the Holy Spirit. That's why verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. When were the believing remnant born of God? It's when Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit. When he poured out the Spirit, he gave them power to become sons of God. So when John was saying, "I baptize you with water," everybody John baptized with never became a son of God, did they? Not until Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and poured out the Holy Spirit, then they became the sons of God. So, water baptism doesn't make anybody a son of God. We become the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ because we have been baptized into Jesus Christ, not into water. Water won't make anybody a son of God. You need to be baptized. If you're in Christ, he is the Son of God, and you become a child of God in Christ. And that's what Galatians is teaching us. So that's a little side point I want you to see that, you know, people don't associate. But there's another thing I want you to note. Just as there is a baptism associated with the ministry, with John's ministry and his message, which is water, that's what's associated with John's ministry and message, there is a baptism associated with the Lord Jesus Christ ministry and message. We don't have to look up verses. We know what that is, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ was going to baptize with the Spirit. And we'll just leave the fire off for right now. We're not interested in that part. But there's a baptism associated with the ministry and message of Jesus Christ. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's also a baptism associated with the Holy Spirit's message, ministry, and message to us today through the Apostle Paul. And it's 1 Corinthians. This I referenced it. I don't think we looked it up last week. But it's important for you to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Well, that being baptized in one body, that reads exactly what Galatians, being baptized into Christ, there's neither Jew or Gentile, male, female, bond or free, we're all one in Christ. And we all got into Christ, or as it says here, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, by the Spirit of God." Now, I've shared before, when I was in Bible college, they told me that when Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that is our baptism into the body of Christ. And they kept insisting that in the Greek, the wording is exactly the same as this verse. So what happened, what Paul's talking about in chapter 12, verse 13, took place at Pentecost when Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit. I believed back then that people who studied the Greek knew more about the Bible than us just reading English. But even reading English, I was stupid enough to believe that statement for quite a few years. It was hindering me from progressing to understand the Pauline revelation. Because, you know, if the body of Christ was formed on the day of Pentecost, then Paul is not bringing anything new. But what I just said to you is something important. There's a baptism associated with John, a baptism and a message associated with John. There's a baptism and a message associated with Jesus Christ, and there is a baptism and a message associated with the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus Christ is different from John, the Holy Spirit is different from Jesus Christ. John kept saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who's coming after, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." So that's Jesus Christ baptizing the believing nation of Israel with the Holy Ghost. Paul now is writing to Gentiles, and he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Or as Galatians says it, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ." Well, the person putting us in Christ is not Jesus Christ. The person putting us into Christ is the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between Jesus Christ putting the Holy Spirit on or in the nation of Israel and the Holy Spirit taking us believers today and putting us in Christ. That's a big difference. In the English, it's different. It's different in the Greek. So, but anyhow, if you start seeing all that, you realize, boy, there's different kind of baptisms in the Bible, and we're still not even talking about the baptism with fire that some people are going to face at the end of time. So I just wanted you to see those different ministries, those different baptisms by different people. John with water, his ministry and message to the nation of Israel, water baptism. Jesus Christ, his ministry and message about being baptized with the nation of Israel with the Holy Spirit. And Paul's ministry today, or the Holy Spirit's ministry today, as revealed through Paul, of being baptized by the Spirit into Jesus Christ, into the body of Christ. Now, with that, just stop. Just you know, relax a little bit and think about those two words. Baptism and baptize. Do you know what the difference is in those words? Just to get, you'll see the importance of it. It's kind of just a, baptism is a noun. Baptize is a verb. Baptism, when we say it's a noun is a person, place, or a thing. Well, baptism, we said there's a message associated with baptism. Baptism is a thing. It's an act, but it's a name of an act. So it's a name. Baptize is an action, something done to someone. So when you think about baptism as a thing, it is an act, that which has a meaning and a message and a statement, an identity behind it. That's why when we started out talking about the baptism of John, that's a statement. That's a thing. That's got a message. That's why it says the baptism of John. That's how you can think of it that way. But then there were those who were baptized by John. And those people, John took and placed them in water. So when you take the idea of baptized, it's an action. That's an action done to someone by someone else. Real clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. No one baptizes themselves with the Holy Ghost. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to baptize the believing remnant of Israel with the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the Holy Spirit doing something to us. So it's an action being done to you. That's why it's a verb, it's a movement, it's an action. And there's always someone else doing it to you. So whether you talk about John or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, each one is placing a person into or something on you or on a person, and they're doing that for a purpose of identifying them with it or him. For instance, you know, the Holy Spirit is neuter in gender. He's going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And those people that get baptized with the Holy Spirit, they're going to be identified as someone who has the Spirit on them, right? We get placed into Jesus Christ and we get identified in Christ. We're called the body of Christ. So we get that identification as because that's been done to us. When we talk about that, our baptism being done by the Holy Spirit, and every action of being baptized, the person baptized is baptized by someone else. Well, considering our baptism, go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now in verse 11, it's first going to talk about a spiritual circumcision we have. And you'll know it's spiritual, not physical, because of what the statement is. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, in whom, and it's talking about in Christ, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Okay, that's real clear. That's got to be a spiritual circumcision, right? Well, if it's made without hands, who did it? Well, every time you read without hands, it's something God did. You know, just like God spoke the world into existence, there's things he does without hands because God did it. So there's a circumcision here made without hands in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Being buried with him in baptism, wherein, in that baptism that we're buried with Christ, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. So our baptism is the operation of who? Of God. The question is, how did you get in Christ? Water baptism doesn't put you in Christ and it doesn't make you a child of God. How in the world can you get into Jesus Christ? That's something spiritual that only God can do. It's the operation of God. So that John's baptism, John can do that, but John could never put someone into Jesus Christ. And John wasn't even ministering to us, and his message wasn't to us. But Paul's message is to us Gentiles about what God does when we put our faith in the cross work of Christ. We get baptized into Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we get in Christ? By the Spirit. So when you think about those words, baptized is actually the motion of being by someone or being put into something or on something, and baptism being the message itself, the act or the meaning. Come over to Romans chapter 6. It says in verse 3, Romans chapter 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, he died 2,000 years ago. But when you were baptized, according to this, as many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. The question I have for you, who baptized you? And how did they put you back 2,000 years ago? You're being identified in baptism, not only in Jesus Christ, but way back there when he died, you're baptized into his death. He died for your sins, and you're baptized into his death. And as you go on, it says in verse 24, therefore, as many of you, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Now there's the noun. Baptism. What kind of baptism? A message that we've died with Christ, buried with Christ, and raised with Christ. That's the message of this baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So I want you to see that in verse, you got both 3 and 4. You got baptized and baptism. And baptism is a message that we've been identified with the cross work of Christ. We were identified with the cross work of Christ when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, because when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. And it's real easy to see who baptized you. Well, it has to be the Holy Spirit. No person has the ability to do that. But there's something else I want you to see in here, and this is real clear. And this is what I said I could scare you. If this verse said, I'm going to read it wrong. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into his death. If that said that, and you weren't water baptized, you're going to hell. Did you just hear what I said? As many of you as were baptized into his death. If those two word baptism were right together with nothing in between, you'd be immediately thinking, oh, when I got water baptized as a child or an infant or whenever you got water baptized, that what happened at that point is that you were placed into Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you weren't water baptized, you wouldn't be in Christ. And if that verse said that, and a lot of people think that's what that verse says, but did you notice the two word baptisms aren't put together? As many as of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. The only way that you're part of his death is when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, not into water. That makes a huge difference. And when did you get baptized into Jesus Christ? Well, you know, that's an interesting statement because, now, you see the difference in that? I hope you see the difference in that, because that people read chapter 4. In fact, even people who know water baptism doesn't save you still use Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, as the reason that you should get water baptized, and they'll give you a certificate, and they'll quote Romans 6, 3 and 4, thinking that has something to do with water. And there's absolutely no water here at all, because we're talking about getting into Jesus Christ and getting into a death that took place 2,000 years ago. That has to be something done, the operation of God, something by the Spirit, placing us into the body of the Lord, into the Lord Jesus Christ, into his body. But the question I just asked you, go back now to Galatians chapter 3. Because once you understand that, oh, there's a big difference between John baptizing Israel into water and whatever reason that was for. That's not what the message is today. Today's the message of the cross. And when you believe in the cross, you're baptized into the body of Christ. You're baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death, burial, and resurrection. Your sins are gone. You've been paid for. But the question I had a long time ago when I started to understand water baptism is different from being baptized into Christ, and today we're baptized into Christ, the question, when do you get baptized into Christ? See, that 1 Corinthians 12:13 just said, by one Spirit. It didn't tell you when, did it? It's real important to know when the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ, is it not? So the only verse that I believe that I found that tells me when it happened is Galatians chapter 3. So in verse 26, it says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So when we come to Christ, the schoolmaster tells us we're a sinner. We come to Christ that we might be saved from our sins, right? And so that's why verse 26, for we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and we become a child of God. Well, how do we become a child of God? That's what the for in verse 27 says. For, how do we become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So that's telling me that the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a child of God for or because I was placed into Christ and I put on Christ. Well, if I'm in Christ and I have Christ is on me, I'm a child of God. So that tells me the moment someone preached the gospel and I realized I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for me and I put my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, soon as that happened, that's when the Holy Spirit placed me into Jesus Christ. Now, that's important because when Paul says, if many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, when did that happen? Not water baptism. It happened the moment you got saved. You got placed into Jesus Christ. People who then say, well, now that you're saved, you ought to get water baptized. If you get water baptized after you're saved, that's another baptism, is it not? Because you've already been baptized into Jesus Christ. Now some minister is going to baptize you into water. And if you read Ephesians chapter 4, in the age of grace, according to Paul's revelation, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ, there's only one baptism today. And if there's only one baptism that creates a unity today, all of us being placed into the body of Christ, you're breaking the unity of God when someone tells you, oh, now that you're saved, you ought to get water baptized. It confuses the gospel, it breaks the unity, and the one that takes place first, as soon as you got saved, you were baptized into Christ. So anything else has to come afterwards. And there is nothing else that needs to come afterwards because you are complete in Christ. And so that verse 26 and 27 tells you when you got baptized into Christ. Verse 28 tells you who you are in Christ. That's an explanation of the body of Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we're all in the Lord Jesus Christ and one in Jesus Christ. We become a child of God. We put on Christ. We're in the body of Christ. And because we're in Christ and he is the seed of Abraham, that's why verse 29 says, and if you be in Christ, or no, it says, and if you be Christ, you're in him, he's on you, you belong to him. You know, the Bible talks about jot and tittle. You know how important the apostrophe S is on that? The meaning of the apostrophe S, you belong to him. It shows ownership. You're in him, and you belong to him. So if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And the promise all through Galatians is justification by faith, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of life. And that you're an heir of because you're in Christ, and in Christ you are a seed of Abraham. Compared to the book of Romans, I just say this, and we got to close. There's one more thing I'll say next week, and then we'll start chapter 4. But think about this statement right there in verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Abraham's the father of everybody who believes, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. When we believe, I'm mixing the two statements together. Hold on here. Both are an interesting statement. Forget what I was just about to say. I'll pick up there next week. Sticking with the idea of baptism and being baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. According to the word for in verse 27, telling us that we're children of God for the fact that we're baptized into Jesus Christ, the statement matches Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, which says, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't say baptism there, but when did you get the Holy Spirit? Well, Galatians 3 told you, ask the question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You received the Holy Spirit the moment you believed, and the moment you believed, not only did you receive the Holy Spirit, but you were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And I wanted you to see that connection as related to baptism. That statement I was about to make in verse 29, I'll hold it until next week, and it's an interesting analogy or statement there. But I wanted to, the thing, hopefully the things we went over just said maybe a little different way, but I really feel for those who have never been taught the doctrine of baptism and are fearful of letting go of John's and just by faith realizing who we are in grace by being baptized into Christ.
What came first, is the circumcision or the baptism?
Oh, I would say they're simultaneous. Yeah, the circumcision made without hands is the very fact that God separates our soul from our flesh.
I thought that needed to be done first, possibly, before you can
do that. Well, yeah, no. In chapter 4, if you can find a verse that would separate it in time. There's so many things, like I say, like I have a list of 40, and there's actually more than that. That happened the moment you get saved. And I don't think you can separate any of them. I think they all happen simultaneous the moment you get saved. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for the study. And we thank you for the very fact that we're not afraid to study the Bible and to see that there is a difference between John's baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ's baptism, and the Holy Spirit's baptism in the age of grace. And therefore, Father, we can let go of the physical things that John was calling Israel to and still be assured that we're absolutely saved and actually know we're saved because we're not trusting anything else but the finished work of Christ to save us. Father, I pray for anybody who's heard this study today or maybe hear it sometime after today that's been confused about this issue, that they would understand the blessedness and the privilege of what's happening today the moment they trust in the blood of your Son, of what it is to be placed into Jesus Christ and in him have all the blessings and righteousness and everything that you have for us is found in Christ. In his name we pray, Father. Amen.